And let's do that by looking to his word this morning. I ask you to turn to Acts 13 in your Bibles as we consider the glorious, the wonderful topic of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. And I want you to imagine something with me for a moment this morning. I want you to think what it would be like to live in a world without a sure word from God, without confidence in the scriptures that we hold so dear, that we've read from this morning, something we almost take for granted. But imagine we live in a world where we can't trust this book. There is a book, but it holds no more persuasiveness or authenticity than the Book of Mormon or perhaps the Quran. It is uncertain. It is untrue. Imagine a world where we don't have a sure word from God. I want you to imagine for a moment a world without hope. A world where we have put our hope in a Savior who, it turns out, is no Savior at all. Where we are to be pitied because we have believed a lie and trusted in something untrue. Imagine a world where death has the last word, when there's nothing to look forward to after we die, where our lives have no meaning beyond what we accomplish in that world, and even that, what we accomplish, without a sure word from God, without an objective standard, what we think is something we've accomplished that's worthwhile, others may think little of. It doesn't matter because there is no standard. No standard of what's good and right and profitable. It's a world, the one that I've asked you briefly to imagine this morning, a world without hope or joy or meaning. It's a dark, sad, pathetic place. And that world is a world, you can guess, it's a world without the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then the world that we've just briefly described is in fact the world that we live in. No sure word from God, no hope, and death has the last word. And so that resurrection of Jesus from the dead, it becomes quickly apparent, is very important. And that might be the understatement of the year. It's hugely important and significant. And so that resurrection is what we remember, especially on this day known as Easter Sunday. Every year we have a Sunday sometime after March 21st that's designated as Easter. And for much of society, it's just another holiday. It's about chocolate eggs. I don't understand that either. Chocolate eggs and bunnies and whatever else. And that's all fine, well and good. My children went looking for Easter eggs with candy in them yesterday because it's fun and we like candy at our house. Nothing wrong with those things. Tulips, all of that. But for the church, the day is far more significant than some of those cultural things that have attached around this holiday. It's the day where we remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What I want you to see today is the earth-shattering nature, the mind-blowing significance of the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Maybe you think, well, that's all well and good. He rose from the dead. That's important. Does it merit a day on the church calendar? The really important work was done at the cross, right? We always say Jesus died to save us from our sins. It's his death that's the really important thing, because in order for us to be forgiven, there had to be a sacrifice for sin. Someone had to die in our place, a perfect substitute. That's what all of the Old Testament showed us with all of those bloody sacrifices, that someone had to die. The death of Jesus is what's the really important thing. It's what we remember in the Lord's Supper, which we celebrate more than once a year. It's the death of Jesus through which we have forgiveness of sins. Why then a day for the resurrection? What's so important? What's the big deal about the resurrection of Christ? And I hope to show you a little bit of that today. I hope you already know something of the significance of the resurrection. But And that's okay if you wonder that, because we do rightly often emphasize the death of Christ, but maybe sometimes to the neglect of the resurrection of Christ. And it's that we want to think about today. We've thought a little bit about a world without the resurrection of Christ and how it's a dismal and hopeless place. And that helps us see the significance of the resurrection for us and that it is a day worth celebrating. And so, very simply, I want to talk about the fact of the resurrection today and then the significance of it and then something of our response to it. And so first, the fact of the resurrection. And as we go, we're going to look at, or I'm going to read a lot of passages of Scripture. And I want you to hear from God's Word that it's not just me saying, resurrection is really important. I want you to see what a frequent theme it is as you read through the New Testament that records for us the resurrection of Christ in the Gospels. And then a lot of the rest of the New Testament is spent unpacking the significance of the resurrection of Christ. And I want you to see that because, again, it can be very easy to rightly focus on the death of Christ, but I want us to think about the significance this morning of the resurrection. And I'll just give you this right away up front. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then his death doesn't matter. His death doesn't mean a thing if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. So let's talk about the fact of his resurrection. It's interesting. The disciples seem to have missed that or misunderstood or not understood. But Jesus told them he was going to rise from the dead. At least three times he told his disciples, I'm going to suffer and die and rise again from the dead on the third day. He told them it was coming. And so you might think that on the night after he had died, they would be eagerly looking forward to the third day. Died on Friday, that's the first day, then Saturday. Imagine how long that Sabbath was, that Saturday, and then the third day. Should have been waiting for it, looking for it, but they didn't understand. The authorities understood. They said, hey, he said he's going to rise from the dead, so just to make no mistake, let's seal this tomb. Let's post a guard so his disciples can't steal his body or whatever else. But the disciples missed it. The authorities caught it. The disciples didn't. But Jesus had told them, Mark 8:31, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And of course, what Jesus foretold actually came to pass. He was put on trial. He was wrongly condemned. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was crucified. He died, and he was buried. It's what we remember on Good Friday. So with good reason, we focus on much on that death of Christ. But perhaps to the neglect of remembering the rest of the story. In our church and in our families, we must remember to present not only as the crucified Savior for sinners, but as the risen and reigning Christ for his people, ruling for his church and interceding for his people. The fact of the matter is that Jesus was raised from the dead. The eyewitness gospel accounts in Scripture record that for us. Maybe there's some skeptics here. We read one of those gospel accounts this morning, Mark's account of the resurrection of the dead. But maybe there's some skeptics, some who doubt or deny the resurrection of the dead in general, or of Christ in particular. Others might claim to believe in the spirit of the resurrection while denying the physical resurrection of Christ. And my purpose today is not to give an answer for every objection. I more want to focus on the implications, like what it means that Jesus rose from the dead. But let's take just a moment to suggest a few lines of thought that support the resurrected Christ. And I meant to bring a little booklet with me this morning, and I forgot it. It's a little booklet by John Blanchard, and it's called Jesus, Dead or Alive. And if you're interested in pursuing more the claims of Christ to have risen from the dead, the claims of Scripture that he rose from the dead, I'd encourage you to get a hold of that. And I would let you borrow mine if I had it, but I don't. Or I can get you one. So if you're interested in it, let me know after the service. I'll be glad to get it to you. But he helps think through some various lines of thought that support the resurrected Christ. And again, this is not a detailed defense of the resurrection this morning. Just a few thoughts. Like, first, there's the empty tomb. Even his enemies acknowledged that on Sunday morning the body of Christ was no longer in the grave where it was laid on Friday. Now, they invented stories to account for it. They had even tried to, like we said, post a guard and seal the tomb to prevent that. But come Sunday morning, the tomb was empty. And for deniers and doubters of the resurrection, there is this pesky problem of the empty tomb. And they'll say all sorts of things. Well, the disciples stole the body away. That is not the demeanor of the disciples on the day of Jesus' death. It was not, all right, okay, he died, but that doesn't mean it's over. We'll steal his body and we'll convince everyone that he ripped. They were locked away for fear of their lives, mourning, and not in any sort of shape to be planning, first of all, an attack on a Roman garrison of troops, breaking open that tomb, stealing his body, hiding it somewhere else, and then carrying off the greatest deceit known to men, that Jesus has risen from the dead, and building an entire religion on it. You look at the men following Christ that day, and they were in no such frame of mind. So there's the empty tomb. Compounding that, there's these many eyewitnesses who saw Christ die. There was no doubt about his actual physical death. Pilate was surprised by it, so he sent somebody to make sure that he was dead. And he was dead, and he gave his body to Joseph to bury in a grave. You don't do that with someone that's alive or just kind of looks like they're dead, as some might say, a swoon theory, which would be remarkable for if Jesus really had just sort of passed out and was in a coma, and then he woke up in the grave to be able to... Okay, if you've lost all of that blood and you've been beaten beyond recognition and hung on a cross and almost died, your condition, even if you do wake up from that, is not such that you're able to push aside a large stone from a grave to get out. He really was dead. There were witnesses to his death. They jabbed a spear in him, assuring his death or making sure that he was dead, perhaps. The witnesses to his death, and then witnesses that the same Christ who had been alive and then had died was again alive. And the scriptures record eyewitness accounts, women, Peter, the apostles, James, 500 at one time, the apostle Paul saw the risen Christ. There would have been ample opportunity for the opponents of Christ to disprove the reality of the empty tomb or to discredit the testimony of the eyewitnesses, but they were not able to do so. This would not have been a hard thing to disprove. Find the body. Show that the witnesses were not credible, that they were not believable, but there were too many of them, and they were not able to discredit the witnesses or produce the body of Christ because Jesus was walking around in it. And the notion that the apostles, again, were lying about the resurrection would be absurd. They would go on to risk and lose their lives for the sake of the risen Christ. And to think that they would do so based on a lie that they had concocted would be absurd. John Blanchard says, people will sometimes lie to get out of trouble, but never to get into it. It was this radical change in the disciples from men who feared for their lives that night because of their association with the condemned Christ. They denied him, they abandoned him, they hid away, they feared that being associated with him, with Christ, would lead to their own death and condemnation. Men like that, a transformation from that to men who were bold and willing to risk their lives to proclaim his gospel, to the point that when they were told by the authorities not to preach Christ, they said, we can't help but preach him. There's no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. And so they went and they proclaimed Christ, even if it meant imprisonment, torture, suffering, and death. The men before the death of Christ and at the death of Christ and the men after the resurrection of Christ were very, very different men. And the only thing that could have made the difference was the risen Christ, seeing him alive and realizing that he was indeed who he said he was. There's the transformation of the Christ persecuting, the Christian persecuting Saul of Tarsus, transformed into an apostle of Christ after encountering him on the road to Damascus. We could say more. These are just a few lines that give clear demonstration of the fact of Christ's resurrection from the dead. Again, Jesus dead or alive, John Blanchard's little book. I'm even pretending to hold it up here. I don't have it, but if you'd like it, talk to me and you can see a little bit more about some of these things and other things as well. But now I want us to shift our attention from the fact of the resurrection. He really did rise from the dead. He really did ascend into heaven. He is there now, ruling and reigning on our behalf. And from there, he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Jesus is real, and he's alive today. We serve a risen Savior. But how would our lives be different if Christ had not been raised from the dead? In other words, let's talk about the significance of the resurrection. It's so important that because without it, and then there's various things, that would be true if we didn't have the resurrection. And as we go through this little exercise, don't forget what we just said. Jesus did, in fact, rise from the dead. I just want us to see the consequences of denying that reality. If he didn't rise from the dead, here's what's true. Well, the first is that the word of God that we hold so dear isn't true. And John Blanchard pointed this out as well. But the word of God that we hold dear is not true if Jesus did not rise from the dead. Jesus' own words that he spoke, we mentioned how he foretold his resurrection from the dead. If he didn't rise from the dead, he's a liar. His words aren't true. He claimed to be the Son of God, the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, the promised Messiah. But if he didn't rise from the dead, he's none of those things, which means the scriptures that record those words of Jesus claiming to be the Son of God are not true. John 11, 25 and 26, Jesus said to her, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" He claimed to be the one who would give eternal life, to be the resurrection. And if Jesus is still in the grave, unable to conquer death for himself, he certainly can't conquer death for anyone else. He is a liar if he's still in the grave. The word of God is not true. Romans 1 and verse 4 speaks of Christ, who is declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord. It was by the resurrection that the Spirit declares that Jesus is the Son of God. If he's not raised, he's not the Son of God. And the word of God is not true. Here's another one of the predictions from Jesus about his coming resurrection. From John 2, 19 to 22, Jesus answered them and said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It's taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. You see how the resurrection was confirmation of the truth of Scripture for Jesus' disciples. But if he didn't rise, there's no confirmation of the word that Jesus spoke. Scripture isn't true if Jesus did not rise from the dead. Jesus' own words aren't true. Not only Jesus' words are false, but so is the Old Testament. It was all about Christ, but if Christ is not resurrected and alive, then the Old Testament is wrong. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, quotes Psalm 16, and his conclusion is, this is Acts 2, 31 and 32, Peter's conclusion from Psalm 16, the psalmist foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ. That he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus, God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. There's the witnesses to the resurrection. But again, he quotes the Old Testament, and he says that was fulfilled in Jesus. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, the Old Testament isn't true. Look here in Acts 13. Paul is preaching this time. He quotes three passages. He quotes from Psalm 2:7, Isaiah 55 and verse 3, and Psalm 16 and verse 10. And says that they are about Jesus. Listen to this. Acts 13, beginning at verse 32. "And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus." All right? The scripture that I'm about to quote was fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus. "As also it is written in the second psalm, 'You are my son, today I've begotten you.' And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this way, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David.' Therefore, he says also in another psalm, 'You will not let your Holy One see corruption.' For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption." Right, David wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about the Messiah, Jesus. But if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, these Old Testament prophecies are not true. There's the powerful witness of the apostles after the resurrection of Christ. So the words of Christ aren't true. The Old Testament isn't true. The words of the apostles that we have in the rest of the New Testament, they aren't true. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, Acts 4 and verse 33, "And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The resurrection, you see this in Acts here? We've quoted from Acts 2, and we just read from Acts 13. Now we're quoting from Acts 4. The message of the apostles as they went out preaching was the resurrection of Christ. With great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, their testimony wasn't true. Without the resurrection of Jesus, the message was a lie. Again, you remember the unlikelihood of these men risking their lives for a lie when they had proved so unwilling to stand with Christ at his death. Why stick their necks out now unless Christ actually had been raised, demonstrating that he was who he said he was? So the testimony of Scripture, the words of Christ, the Old Testament, the witness of the apostles is all empty if Christ has not been raised. And so what a blessing to stand before you today and to proclaim that Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Don't forget, we've talked already about the fact of the resurrection, and therefore the word of God that you hold in your hands is trustworthy and true. And what a remarkable thing to see a book written across a time span of centuries consistently speak of Christ and his resurrection. I love when the New Testament authors quote the Old Testament and show how it points to the resurrection of Jesus. You see the unity of Scripture. What a good God to give us a good, absolutely reliable word, the Holy Scriptures. But to show more of the significance of the resurrection, think further with me of implications of Christ not rising from the dead. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know that Paul goes through this exercise that we're doing this morning. If Christ didn't rise from the dead, and we can sum it up with Paul, we are of all men most to be pitied. So in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul lists consequences of not believing in the resurrection in general and the resurrection of Christ in particular. And his summary is, if in this life, this is verse 19, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead and we put our trust in Christ, in this Jesus, sorry about you. You're to be pitied if you've trusted in Christ, if he didn't rise from the dead. So let's go back and read beginning at verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. So you see, he says what we've already said this morning. Their preaching was in vain. They've misrepresented God. Their witness is not true if Jesus is not raised from the dead. They gave powerful witness to the resurrection of Jesus. But that's all empty. And so is the faith of those who have believed that witness if Christ has not risen. People have listened and believed, but they've believed in something false if there's no resurrection of Christ from the dead. It says your faith is in vain. You're still in your sins if Christ is not raised. You ever trusted in the wrong person, the wrong thing? You ever take a step assuming you were on solid ground? Maybe you're up in your attic and you think you're on solid ground, but you put your foot right through the sheetrock and came down into the bedroom underneath. You trusted, you believed in something. Maybe you had a project that you needed to do at your house that you wisely recognized was beyond your capability of doing. And so you said, you know what, instead of trying to do this myself and wrecking it, I'm going to hire somebody to do it. And you carefully researched and you thought the right contractor to do that project. You put your trust in them, you put your faith in them to do the job, and it turns out that they were actually lazy and they didn't know what they were doing. and your faith in them was in vain. The job didn't get done right, and you're still in the situation you were before, and the job needs to be done at all if they were really lazy and never showed up, but it needs to be done right or redone or fixed, but you still have the problem because the person in whom you fixed, put your faith, wasn't trustworthy. They didn't accomplish what needed to be done, and that's where all who have trusted in Christ are, if he is still dead. I've got this big problem of sin, and I can't take care of it myself. I need forgiveness of sins to be right with a holy God, and I'm going to put my faith in Jesus, the perfect Son of God, the God-man. We put our faith in Jesus, and Paul says, if Jesus is still in the grave, then your faith is in vain. You put your faith in the wrong person. See how important the resurrection is? Without the resurrection, the death of Jesus doesn't matter. It didn't accomplish anything. It means that Jesus was just another man. And not the Son of God, not the Messiah, not the sacrifice and priest that we need. You still have your problem that you trusted Jesus to take care of if he is still in the grave. So those who died in Christ then actually perished. Verse 18, your loved ones who died trusting in Christ are not in his presence, but they've gone on to eternal punishment or simply ceased to exist if none of what God's word says can be trusted. The comfort that we find at the death of believers, knowing that they're in the presence of Christ, no longer suffering, that's entirely misplaced. If Jesus is still in the grave, the hope that you have for yourself when you die is false. I want you to feel the weight and significance of the resurrection. Without it, there is no hope. At all. Now the reality is, don't forget, Jesus did rise from the dead. He is who he says he is. He is the Savior of sinners. Your faith in Christ is not in vain, but to see the importance of the resurrection, if there is no resurrection of Christ, there's no hope. Peter tells us there's no new birth or inheritance for us. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you can't be born again, and there is no inheritance waiting for you in glory. There's no intercession for us by Christ if he's in the grave. Hebrews 7. 23-25, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. All right? All the old priests, they were temporary. They all died and they couldn't continue in their office serving God's people because they died. But he, Jesus, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, he's like just like one of the old priests. He can't keep serving. He can't keep interceding for God's people. He can't save God's people. He's just one of those other priests that died and stayed dead. But no. He continues forever. Consequently, he's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. If he's dead, he's not. He can't save us. The last consequence that we'll note is that death is not conquered, and there's no resurrection for us if Jesus is not raised from the dead. As Christians, we love the anticipation of life in glory with our Savior Jesus, eternal life. As we walk through this life, there are many things to discourage us. There are many things to weigh us down. There are many and deep and dark trials, painful ones, of all sorts. We could talk about some of those this morning. You all know those trials because you are walking through them. There are people in this room in deep pain today, some physical pain, some emotional pain, and other things. You know the darkness, and one of the great hopes for believers is that one day there will be no more suffering and pain and sorrow. One day every wrong will be made right. One day we will rise from the dead and be with our Savior Jesus forever. One day we will be with him in glory. Death doesn't get the last word. When we die, we go to be with Jesus. We love the anticipation of life in glory with our Savior. Eternal life coming. And after the resurrection, a resurrection body to enjoy. When we die, our bodies go in the ground and our souls go to be with Jesus in heaven. But then when he comes again at the resurrection, our bodies and souls rejoin. We look forward to that. Resurrection body, if you are one who suffers physically, resurrection body is, man, can't wait. One that doesn't break down, it's imperishable, Paul says. We're longing for that day. Looking forward to that day. The great joy of our Christian life as we walk through this world is knowing that there is a world to come. But without the resurrection of Christ, we have none of that to look forward to. Your suffering here has no meaning. It's all there is. There is no relief when you die. There's eternal punishment, or if the resurrection of Jesus means that none of this is true, then there's nothing at the end. The absence of the resurrection of Jesus. What a miserable thought. You think about your trials that you're enduring right now, and there is no light at the end of the tunnel. Jesus didn't rise from the dead. There isn't. Adam's sin in the garden plunged us into an existence that ends in death. Our physical lives on the earth come to an end, and we live forever in torment and eternal death. That's the curse of the fall. But Jesus reversed that curse. He suffered the infinite wrath of God in the place of his people and then rose from the dead, conquering death so that death no longer has its sting. And that's how Paul finishes up his conversation about resurrection here in 1 Corinthians 15. Jump down to verse 53 with me. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus is still in the grave, there isn't any victory. We won't get to the end and be able to say death no longer. Death still stings. You know that. But when the resurrection takes place, when the perishable puts on imperishable mortal immortality, then we'll be able to say, death, where's your victory? Death, where's your sting? We'll never get to say that if Jesus is in the grave. In Christ we have victory. In Christ we too will be raised from the dead. Look down at verse 21. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then it is coming, those who belong to Christ. Because he is risen, we too will. And so if Christ is not risen from the dead, we remain very much under the curse. Death still has its sting and will forever. When we die, we go to that eternity of suffering instead of knowing Christ suffered in our place. If Jesus is still in the grave, he failed in his mission. He came to conquer sin and death, but if he didn't rise from the dead, the penalty of our sin, death, is not conquered. Listen to Romans 6:9. It's God's word. Remember, I want you to see from the scriptures the significance of the resurrection. We're seeing it here in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul also said to the Romans in chapter 6 and verse 9, we know that Christ being raised from the dead will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. He's talking about the resurrection of Christ from the dead. So if he didn't rise, death still has dominion over Jesus and us and everyone who died trusting in him for deliverance. Death still has dominion over them if Jesus is still in the grave. Romans 6 and verse 5. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. The resurrection of Christ is central to Scripture, not just his death. Romans 8, verse 11, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. There's great comfort here for those who have faith in Jesus. We will be raised with him and be with him in glory. It is a fact because the resurrection of Jesus is a fact. Our resurrection is based on his. It will be like his, done by the same spirit who raised him. And so if his resurrection didn't take place, ours won't either. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. See? Do you hear it? Our resurrection is intimately tied to that of the Savior. And so if there are some people out there that say, oh, you can still have Christianity, but Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. Like, we don't have to believe in a bodily resurrection of Christ to believe what the Bible says. No, if he didn't rise from the dead, none of this is true. And you won't rise from the dead either. With the resurrection of Jesus from the grave, and he did rise, we have all of these things. We have the reliable word of God. We have a sure ground of our faith. Those who have died in the Lord are safely home with him. Our faith is fixed upon the rock and is not in vain. We have the new birth and an inheritance in heaven. Death will not have a sting for us when we are raised from the dead. Death does not conquer us because Christ has conquered death. All in Christ will be raised with him and live forever in the bliss and glory of his presence. You who are suffering will one day suffer no more. Your faith is not in vain. We are not of all men most to be pitied. We are of all men most to be envied. Not because we are great or because we are special, but because we have a great and a living, a risen, reigning Savior. And so here in 1 Corinthians 15, what a joy to read. Paul, in the verses we read from verse 12 to 19, he discusses the implications of Jesus not rising from the dead. Verse 19, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by man came death, by man has come also the resurrection of the dead. I love that Paul doesn't leave us there. And I don't want to leave us there this morning either, thinking about all that's true, if Christ is not raised from the dead. Don't miss verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. That's why we talk about the fact of the resurrection and the fact that one day we will be with him and our suffering will be no more. So in some ways, our response, thirdly, the fact of the resurrection, its significance in our response to it. In some ways, it should be obvious to it. What do we do with this truth? Do you delight in it and its implications? Do you believe it? Is it something that you remind your children of often? Talk about the death of Christ. You remind them of the resurrection of Christ. I seem to recall at some point one of our children, I don't remember which one, thought that Jesus was still dead because we talked about the death of Christ. To say, no, he's alive. And we should talk about the risen Christ with our children. And in our church, is it as central to our thought as it is to the New Testament? I hope you've seen that. We haven't turned to every one of the passages that I've cited this morning, but all through the New Testament, central to the message of the Scripture is the resurrection of Jesus. Is it as central to our thinking as it is to the New Testament? Or is resurrection something you sort of think of once a year at Easter? We should remember the resurrection far more often. At least every Sunday we should remember the resurrection. That would be a good start. You know why we're worshiping today on Sunday instead of on Saturday? Because Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. He rose from the dead on the first day of the week. It was such a monumentally significant event in the course of redemptive history that it shifted the day of rest and worship kept holy to the Lord to the first day of the week instead of the last day of the week. And so we now celebrate Sunday as the Christian Sabbath. Every Sunday is Resurrection Day. That's why we're here today and weren't here yesterday, because Jesus rose from the dead. So every time we gather for worship, it's acknowledging the reality of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. So So when you come to worship on the first day of the week and your heart is cold and you don't feel like worshiping, remember the resurrection, remember the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom your faith is rightly placed. You step on that rock and it didn't give way underneath you and send you crashing down. No, that rock holds firm. You remember that rock, Christ Jesus, that you have put your faith in, rightly put your faith in. Remember the faithful testimony of the Scriptures. Remember the new birth and life that you have because He lives. Remember the eternal life that you are guaranteed. Death cannot snatch it away from you because Jesus conquered death. Remember your future resurrection when you will have a body like His. Remember His triumph. And take comfort that it is your triumph as well. See if that doesn't warm your heart to worship when you come on this first day of the week. And don't just remind yourself of the benefits of the resurrection of Christ. Pass that truth along to others who need to hear the gospel. Pass it on to your children. Do it often that they might see the glory of believing in the Savior who not only died for our sins, but also was raised for our life everlasting. Don't let anyone tell you that the resurrection is a lie. Don't listen if somebody suggests you can deny the resurrection of Christ from the dead and still have Christianity. You can't. Praise God, we serve a risen, reigning, ruling Savior. He lives, and we live to praise Him, and one day we will join Him, having been resurrected ourselves. Do you trust the Savior? Have you put your faith in Him and in Him alone? If you are in Christ, you are safe and secure. Your faith is not misplaced. You have nothing to fear. But if you reject Christ, hear me carefully, if you reject Christ and say, no thanks, then you're rejecting all the blessings that we've spoken of today that are connected with the resurrection of Christ. They're available to us only through Christ. If you reject Christ, you will not enjoy eternal life. Period. Your suffering will not come to an end when you die. You will not go to be with Jesus in glory. If your faith is not in Christ, and anything else that you are trying won't work. You'll not enjoy eternal life by being a pretty good person, better than your neighbors. You'll not find forgiveness of sins through transcendental meditation. Working off your sin with good deeds won't work. You'll not be given a glorious resurrection body to be forever with Christ by looking to your own strength. You'll not have the confidence of a sure and fixed faith by trusting in yourself. You will let yourself down. You rest all of your weight on yourself, you will come crashing down. You'll not have eternal glory by seeking first your own kingdom and your own glory. We're counterintuitive, isn't it? Like, we seek God's glory and we receive a glorious kingdom. We seek our own glory and we're sent to a ruin with no glory. Coming to church and saying a few nice things and being a little bit religious is not enough. If you would enjoy these benefits, and they are real, and we want you to enjoy them, Jesus is a sweet Savior for sinners. And there is the prospect of an eternity without suffering, without hurt, without any of these trials. If you would enjoy those things, you must abandon all other hope and put your trust in the risen Christ alone. We're not asking you to come and face an eternity of drudgery and cold worship, which you can't stand. We're asking you to embrace the most beautiful truth and comfort and hope and delight there is. Will there be difficulty along the way? Yes. Will it all be worth it because we have a risen Savior? Absolutely. Don't forget what Jesus says. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? That's Jesus' question for you. Do you believe this? I pray that you do. Why would you turn away when Christ has come to give eternal life to all who look to Him and live? You look to Him, to the risen Savior, and find in Him all that you need for this life and for the next. And if that is your hope and trust, your faith is in Christ, then delight in this reality. This Savior is worthy of our worship, our confidence, and our trust. Our faith is not in vain. May we be glad to gather together here each first day of the week to commemorate his resurrection and delight in his work on our behalf. And may our future resurrection to be with him, the thought of that, may that fuel our service and our joy, our living for him as we walk through this life on our way to eternal life. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead, the significance of it can't be overstated. It's huge. Without it, we have no hope. With it, we have every reason for hope. So may we cling to Christ. Amen. Let's pray.